Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. When you were eating your breakfast cereal this morning, did you happen to think about Borneo? Or how about orangutans? No, your host has not lost her mind. She just is coming to terms with this very real and unexpected connection between many foods we eat and other products we consume, and orangutans in Malaysia. And the element is palm oil. You probably eat and consume more of it than you know, more than I realize I did until a few days ago. On today's show, we explore the complex issues leading to habitat loss and death of vast numbers of orangutans. Our guest today is Michelle Desolais, Executive Director of Orangutan Land Trust. She has been involved in orangutan conservation and protection for almost two decades and certainly has devoted her life to their cause. Welcome to the program, Michelle.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle, to begin the discussion, please give us a brief overview on orangutans. They are great apes, right?
Yep, they're a great ape, along with the chimpanzees, bonobos, and gorillas. But they're the only great ape that lives in Asia. They live in the countries of Indonesia and Malaysia, on the islands of Borneo and Sumatra. They once ranged much further afield from the foothills of the Himalayas down to the Java Sea, almost all the way up to China in historic times, and now are confined to just these two islands.
And
they
are
the largest arboreal. Sorry?
Arboreal mammal in
the world. They spend almost all of their lives entirely up in the treetops. That's where they find their food. That's where they make their nests. They make new nests every night. In Sumatra, you know, ideally it's to keep away from the predators on the ground, which might include a tiger. In Borneo, there aren't ground predators, but they still make the nest in the tree. And they're omnivores. They mostly live off of fruit and leaves, sometimes eat bark. They'll eat insects and birds' eggs, and just a few sightings of them eating small mammals. But generally speaking, they prefer fruit over all other things. Can I tell you about the orangutan? They're endangered. The Sumatran orangutan, which is a different species altogether, is considered critically endangered by the IUCN, while the Bornean orangutan is only endangered. But even saying that, being endangered only, they are declining at a very unprecedented and disastrous rate.
We're gonna talk about that in a minute. And listeners, I'm sorry about this delay. Michelle was kind enough to call us from the UK, so we have a little bit of air delay here. Michelle, you have dedicated your life to these beautiful animals. How did you become involved with them?
Oh, that's a long story. Let's see if I can make it short. I started off, well, as a child, I was always, you know, passionate about the great apes, primates in general, but especially the chimpanzees, gorillas, and orangutans. And, you know, I fancied myself following in the footsteps of somebody like Jane Goodall or Diane Fossey, the chimpanzee and gorilla experts. But that didn't come to be. You know, my parents and my university professors told me that I needed to get a real job. And so, of course, I became a teacher, but that didn't stop the passion. And as soon as my finances and vacation time would permit me, I was off to Africa and Southeast Asia to see these animals in the wild. It was when I got to Indonesia as a volunteer, the first time I went to Indonesia, and I beheld the saddest brown liquid eyes you can imagine. They belonged to a little orphaned baby orangutan named Somalia, who sat hunched over, malnourished, traumatized in this little wooden cage. And I knew then that I needed to do something. He stole my heart, and it's not been the same ever since. So I found myself going back time and time again to look after not only Somalia, but many other orphan baby orangutans. And I just fell in love with them. And once you come to know one or two or five or 12 or 100 orangutans on an individual basis and realize how unique and precious they are, you can then kind of step away and take that privileged knowledge and say, you know what, I need to do it for more than just these guys. I need to do what I can for all of the orangutans out there that I shall never have the privilege to meet in person, because they equally deserve somebody fighting their corner.
Michelle, why are orangutans in the wild under threat?
Well, traditionally, I mean, for the past several decades, it was a matter of them being orphaned, the mothers killed to take the infant, and that infant would perhaps become a pet locally, or more likely enter into the very lucrative international and illegal wildlife trade. Locally, perhaps the hunter that captures this infant might make $5 or $10. By the time it gets to Java, it's worth $1,000. By the time it gets to America or the Middle East, it could be worth tens of thousands of dollars. So, you know, it was worth a lot of money to people to capture these animals. And so where organizations could, they would intervene and rescue or confiscate these animals and look after them. But more recently, the trouble has been to do not only with deforestation for timber, which I'm sure everyone's heard about for decades. That's been a threat to many kinds of wildlife throughout the tropics for countless years and continues to be so. But the clearing of forests for agriculture is the greatest threat to the survival of the orangutan. And the agricultural commodity of choice in Indonesia and Malaysia is palm oil.
Now, the deforestation going on in Indonesia right now is occurring at an alarming rate. And tell us about that. What typically is being done with the land after the logs are removed?
Once the logs have been removed, you're left with a lot of tree stumps and debris and smaller bits of saplings and so forth. And this isn't suitable for trying to plant an enormous, you know, 10, 20, 40,000 hectare crop of oil palm. So often what happens is they set fire to what's remaining. And this is against the law, but it happens year after year. And all of Southeast Asia gets cloaked in this suffocating haze of smoke reaching up to Singapore and Kuala Lumpur and causing problems for communities in over a vast area. And then once they've cleared that, they start to plant these oil palms. And like I said, these are enormous estates where you could drive for a couple of hours through one and not get to the other side. And they've cleared the forest to plant these in most cases. When they clear that forest, the orangutans are left with no shelter and certainly no food. And they're desperate, they're starving, and they're exposed. They'll enter into these new plantings of oil palm. And there, with the newly planted trees, they can kind of pluck away and get at the inner shoots, which is what they're after. It's got very little nutrition, but remember, these orangutans are desperate. They're starving. And as such, the palm oil workers see them as an agricultural pest. Once they've done that to the tree is destroyed. It's not going to mature and produce the product that it was intended to. So in many plantations, the management actually put up bounties on the heads of orangutans. Workers would be paid $10 or $20 to produce the head of a dead orangutan. And often when they killed the adult orangutans, if that adult, a female, were carrying an infant, the infant may be spared. The infant may have been kept as a pet in the workers' camp or, again, intended for sale into the illegal market. And so a lot of the orangutans at the rescue centers are either adults who have somehow survived this harrowing situation and have been rescued by rescue teams, but more often it's these traumatized orphaned orangutans who have seen their mothers butchered. And I mean butchered. The graphic violence and brutality that's often unleashed on these animals is very disturbing, and pictures have gone out around the world and caused a lot of uproar of orangutans butchered to death with machetes or beaten to death with iron bars and wooden planks. And even the rescue team that I'm I work with. I don't actually do the rescue. So the rescue team we support went out, and they found an orangutan that had been doused with gasoline and set alight.
Oh, my God. Michelle, that's horrible to listen to. We got to take a quick break. Michelle Destelet is with us. She's our guest. She's calling from United Kingdom. Thank you very much for staying with us. We're talking about the orangutans. Don't go away.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred, or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now, 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Scott needs some new tires, but doesn't know Walmart has the brands he's looking for great low prices. So I called him.
Hi, this is Scott.
Hey, it's Earl from the Walmart commercials.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Why is it important to have new tires for the winter?
Because if you don't, it's hard to get up the driveway.
What are the top brands in your mind?
I'm looking at Goodyear. I'm looking at Michelin. I'm looking at Bridgestone.
Did you know Walmart has those brands? They even have some Goodyear on rollback.
I need to hang up right now so I can go buy some tires.
That's great. Head to Walmart.com to find your local Walmart's tire and Lube Express. And with Walmart's tires on demand, you can get 10,000 other tires and wheels on the top brands within 48 hours. See for yourself.
Hurry into your local Chevy dealer today and get a great deal on a brand new 2012 Chevy. Right now, during Chevy Truck Month, you can take advantage of great pricing on a Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, or Traverse. Be sure to hurry in while supplies last.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Look, it's Lord Horsey.
They say he has instant access to a wealth of entertainment, a most appropriate suitor.
He is of Netflix, lavishes $8 a month on thousands of TV episodes and movies.
I heard he watches them over the internet.
Pish posh, it's the 1700s. Internet doesn't exist yet.
Oh, do hush, child.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
Almost done with the hors d'oeuvres. Soufflés are ready. Hey, Flo, how are those cupcakes coming?
Putting sprinkles on the last one now.
Great. Hey, I thought we had another tray of the red velvet. Have you seen it?
Me? What? Why would you? There's frosting on my face, isn't there?
Yep.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. 24/7 live support, online bill pay, and expert claims. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Animals. Today we're speaking to Michelle Desolet. She's the executive director of Orangutan Land Trust. And Michelle, we're going to get more into the rescue of these orangutans in a minute. Go back to the pet trade. You mentioned the orangutans are captured for the pet trade. What are the impacts of the pet trade on the wild population of orangutans?
Well, it's a little bit hard to measure because it's a very undercover kind of operation, very organized crime, actually. It's often associated with arms trading, drugs trading. On a shipment, you might find all three, and it's almost as lucrative as those two trades. So this is highly organized and undercover work, and we can only guess that we're just scraping the surface of knowing what's out there and rescuing as many as can be rescued. In any case, for every orangutan that's rescued, you've got to figure out that at least its mother has perished in the process, because the mother won't give up the infant for anything. You have to kill the mother to pry that infant off her body. But then we also need to consider that a number of these infants and the mothers associated with them will have died. The other infants may have died during the capture process or shortly thereafter in transit, or even, sometime after that, just from trauma or malnutrition. So the estimate is that for each orangutan that perhaps makes it to its destination alive and somewhat well, that between 3 and 10 other orangutans in the wild will have perished. So it is a significant threat, the capture of infants and the hunting of adult orangutans both continue to be a significant threat to the survival of those species.
Michelle, how about orangutans in zoos? Where do they come from? Are they bred or captured or both?
Thankfully, in North American zoos, it's no longer permitted to capture orangutans in the wild for zoo collections. There are still a few orangutans in their latter years, 50 years of age or more, perhaps, that were originally wild caught. But nowadays, they're all bred through the specialist breeding programs amongst the zoos in North America. In places like Southeast Asia, that's not always the case. We came across a zoo in Thailand that suddenly had over 100 babies in small cages behind the scenes, and they were being trained up to do Thai kickboxing and ride bicycles and wear silly costumes. Mm. And when asked, the owner said, well, it's an example of our very successful breeding program. Unfortunately, they only had 2 breeding females and 1 breeding male, which would be biologically impossible to have 101 babies under the age of 3.
Right.
So these orangutans were identified as being stolen from the forest of Borneo. We worked for 3 years to get them repatriated to Borneo. By the time we got them back to the rescue center, some of them had been smuggled off to Cambodia. Others had died. And we came away with 48 individuals of those 101 that we originally came across.
Michelle, what is the Orangutan Land Trust, and tell us how it operates?
Well, the Orangutan Land Trust is designed to provide sustainable solutions for the long-term survival of the orangutan in the wild, basically by ensuring safe areas of forest for their continued existence. Now, this includes both those areas of forest that contain significant populations of orangutans, which may be at risk, most likely at risk of conversion to oil palm. So we use whatever techniques we have as far as trying to sway government decisions, to work with the industries that may threaten that habitat to find solutions so that that land can be kept secure. At the same time, there are over 1,000 orangutans in rescue centers that need to be released into the wild one day. In fact, right now, several hundred are ready to be released. They've gone through the entire rehabilitation program, and the rescue centers are bursting at the seams, and some can no longer accept new victims. They're so overcrowded. So we've got to get these orangutans back out of the forest, not just for their sake, but also to open up that space for new victims. So that's another part of the work that we do, is try to support those efforts on the ground, find those areas, to secure them in the long term, and to help support the release of these orangutans and ongoing management and monitoring of these orangutans in the wild to make sure that they're safe in the long term. So
Michelle,
we're not really just about the orangutan. We're more about the forest. We're more about the ecosystems. When you save the orangutan, you must save its forest. And by saving the forest, you're saving countless other forms of biodiversity, the great mega species like tigers, rhinoceros, elephants, but all the lesser species that we don't hear so much about. But perhaps more importantly, some would say, is that we're protecting the environmental services that these forests and the biodiversity within them provide to humanity, clean water, mitigating climate change, these kinds of things. So it's really, I think, a really ambitious way of looking at orangutan conservation, to look at the global issues that are driving their demise, trying to address the problem at the source, trying to work with the industries that perhaps currently present the greatest threat to these animals, to get them to work in a way that does not present such a threat to the animals and their forests.
So, Michelle, you and the Orangutan Land Trust are trying to get the corporations and governments and the stakeholders to cooperate more with the environmentalists. Is that correct?
That is one of the main things that we are working on, and one of the ways that we're doing that is as members of the Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil, which is a multi-stakeholder, voluntary initiative to encourage the sustainable production of palm oil. And it's about bringing these people, obviously, to a round table to find these solutions and encourage this business to change and to consider its environmental impacts and its social impacts as well when it's doing business. And so to that end, this is probably some of the most important work that Orangutan Land Trust does, because if we can help sway how the global industry of palm oil and all of its buyers, manufacturers, and retailers around the world are doing business and demand that palm oil is grown sustainably, this could save the orangutan from extinction.
Very good. Michelle Desolé, you're listening to Animals Today.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? I can't... Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying...
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Did you know that there is a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits, too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away, and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Hey fans, Exergen is inviting you and yours to enjoy the sights and sounds of London, along with the exciting action of NFL football as the Patriots take on the Rams at Wembley Stadium, all in one trip. Exergen presents the London Fantastic Family Adventure, a fabulous trip for four. The Crown Jewels, Buckingham Palace, and the London Shopping Spree will all be part of the adventure. Experience great seats, NFL-sponsored events, and the entire wonder of London. Go to www.exergen.com for details, entry rules, and your opportunity to win.
Hurry into your local Chevy dealer today and get a great deal on a brand new 2012 Chevy. Right now, during Chevy Truck Month, you can take advantage of great pricing on a Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, or Traverse. Be sure to hurry in while supplies last.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store.
Stock up on all your favorite Stouffer's meals for one today.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11/10/12. Staples. That was easy.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, GEICO has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has GEICO. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Scott needs some new tires, but doesn't know Walmart has the brands he's looking for great low prices. So I called him.
Hi, this is Scott.
Hey, it's Earl from the Walmart commercials.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Why is it important to have new tires for the winter?
Because if you don't, it's hard to get up the driveway.
What are the top brands in your mind?
I'm looking at Goodyear. I'm looking at Michelin. I'm looking at Bridgestone.
Did you know Walmart has those brands? They even have some Goodyear on rollback.
I need to hang up right now so I can go buy some tires.
That's great. Head to Walmart.com to find your local Walmart's Tire and Lube Express. And with Walmart's Tires on Demand, you can get 10,000 other tires and wheels on the top brands within 48 hours. See for yourself.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We're speaking to Executive Director of Orangutan Land Trust, Michelle Desolay. Michelle, can you describe the process of rehabilitating injured orangutans or juveniles who are orphaned and getting them to a point where they can be released into the wild? It must be a long, difficult process.
It is. If you consider that an infant orangutan will spend 8, 9 or more years with its mother, learning everything it needs to know about survival in the forest, and we have to try to replicate that as mere humans. The task is daunting, but it's been done very well. It's done with a great deal of thought and foresight into it, and it kind of mirrors school as humans undergo school. So once the orangutan comes in, it's put into quarantine and treated for its injuries or illness, and brought back to good health. And a lot of bringing it back to good health and getting it over the trauma is by providing a lot of love and nurturing and so forth. And so for this, we have dedicated babysitters, what we call babysitters. They're local Dayak women from the region where the rescue center is located. And they spend 24 hours a day on shifts looking after these babies and just giving them the confidence that they need to not only survive but to thrive. So the smallest babies, up to about a year of age, into what we call nursery. And in nursery, they go to a little tiny forest with little tiny trees, and they've made little tiny playgrounds and climbing frames for the orangutans. And the babysitters look after these orangutans, and under the watchful eye of the babysitters, the orangutans learn to gain confidence, to climb up the trees, and perhaps even begin to build nests just a little bit, not suitable ones that you could ever spend the night in, but it's all part of the practice. The babysitters will show them what kinds of foods in the forest they can eat and how to be afraid of snakes. They do that with using rubber snakes and hide them and then react appropriately by screaming and throwing sticks at it and grabbing all the babies and climbing up the trees. And once the babies have spent about a year in this nursery, they move into Forest School 1, which is like elementary school. So it's a little bit bigger forest, a little bit bigger trees, and the tasks are a little bit harder, finding termites, for example, or dipping for honey in trees, these kinds of things. And again, the orangutans are encouraged to climb, and find their fruit in the canopy. They're also given fruit by the babysitters. And they'll start to build the nest, and even some of them will stay in the nest at night. Well, not all night. They'll usually wake up about 10 or 11 at night and freak out. Where am I? It's dark. I need to go back to my night quarters, because they generally spend the night in these night quarters with their babysitters. So the babysitters wait for them at the bottom of the tree until they wake up and have this panic attack and then carry them back into night quarters. Once they start building those nests and actually sleeping in them throughout the night, that's a sign that they're ready for Forest School 2. Another sign is that they're becoming very naughty and macho and so forth for the boys, and they start to bite the kneecaps of the babysitters a little too hard, so the babysitters start to complain. The orangutans then go into Forest School 2 under the watchful eyes of the technicians, or technici in Indonesian, and these are the men of the community, and the men are a little bit tougher, a little less cuddles, and the trees are bigger, and the orangutans generally spend the night out every night in their nest. And they learn to become much more independent from their caretakers and build friendships and bonds with their other orangutan friends. And so now we're on to, about 6 years into the process. We're about a year for nursery, 2, 3, 4 years, depending on the process in Forest School 1. There's 13 class levels that they have to graduate through. And then Forest School 2, another few years in Forest School 2. And then it's off to Orangutan University. And these would be one of the 5 river islands that the project manages. And the orangutans are put on these river islands. They're mostly left to fend for themselves, to show us that they've learned the skills that they need, they can refine them a bit more, that they need to show us that they're going to be all right when we put them into the wild. They do get a little bit of help. They get a little bit of extra feeding, and they're monitored on a daily basis. So if there is a problem, we can intervene straight away and take action.
Michelle, in the interest of time, because I want to get to what listeners can do to help the orangutans, so we only have a few minutes left. Very interesting. Please tell us how you release them and how many orangutans have gone through this process or is going through this process and have been released.
Well, at the project that I'm talking about, which is operated by Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation in Indonesia, Nyarlathotep Menteng Project, there are over 600 orangutans currently at the project. Many more have been rescued and released in the past directly. Their wild orangutans have been picked up and moved quite quickly to safe forests. Now it's taken us quite some time to find new forest for the remaining orangutans where they could be safe in the long term. We have found it. We have found some funding to start to get those out, and we will be releasing the first of the rehabilitated orangutans ever from this project, which opened in 1999, will be released at the beginning of next month.
So wow.
It's the culmination of 13 years hard graft from hundreds of staff dedicated to giving these orangutans a future in the wild, and we really need help to get them out there. It's not cheap, but once we get them out there, then we can take in more victims, and those orangutans can be back in the wild where they belong.
Wonderful. In the last couple minutes, Michelle, I wanted to have you explain about palm oil as a component of so many consumer goods. Do we know what products we're consuming contain palm oil? And if so, can the consumer know how the palm oil was obtained?
At present, it's a little bit difficult to do that because there is no requirement to label palm oil specifically on a product. It may just be labeled as vegetable oil, or it could be any of, you know, several dozen other chemical names when it's being used as a derivative. And it's appearing in, you know, close to 50% of everyday products we buy, from, you know, food products and chocolate and ice cream to makeup and shampoo and so forth. It's just endless. You can't avoid it. It would be almost impossible to completely avoid this product. And that's not even trying to avoid it while it's, you know, perhaps good on principle. It's not really helping what we're trying to do on the ground. What we're really looking for, and it's just starting to appear, are products that show that the palm oil that they have sourced is certified sustainable palm oil. I know of one company in the U.S., some of them certainly must be more, but the one company that comes to mind is Seventh Generation, who sources 100% traceable, certified, sustainable palm oil. And they bear a logo on it that says as much, certified sustainable palm oil. So we need to start looking for these logos, but they're not very frequently found on the products as yet, especially in America. So at this point, the most important thing that supporters, consumers, people who care about orangutans in the rainforest can do is to communicate to the manufacturers and retailers that they buy from that they want a commitment to sourcing only sustainable palm oil. Sustainable palm oil is palm oil that's not produced at the expense of the orangutan or its rainforest habitat, and we must demand no less for the products that we're consuming every day.
Very good. Can you tell my listeners your website and how they can learn more about the orangutans and the Orangutan Land Trust?
Yes, the website is www.forests, and that's plural, more than one forest, the number 4, orangutans.org. And there you can find out everything you need to know, and if you don't have every answer you need, just send us an email. We'll be happy to clear things up for you and give you all the information you need.
And you're also on Facebook and Twitter, correct?
Yes, on Twitter. We're at Orangutans, pretty easy. And on Facebook, we're facebook.com/SaveTheOrangutan.
Michelle Desolais, Executive Director of Orangutan Land Trust, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't go away. We have Peter in the News up next on Animals Today. Every little swallow, every
every chickadee, every little bird in the tall old tree. The wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings singing bo, 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 rockin' bobbin'.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Scott needs some new tires, but doesn't know Walmart has the brands he's looking for great low prices. So I called him.
Hi, this is Scott.
Hey, it's Earl from the Walmart commercials.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Why is it important to have new tires for the winter?
Because if you don't, it's hard to get up the driveway.
What are the top brands in your mind?
I'm looking at Goodyear. I'm looking at Michelin. I'm looking at Bridgestone.
Did you know Walmart has those brands? They even have some Goodyear on rollback.
I need to hang up right now so I can go buy some tires.
That's great. Head to Walmart.com to find your local Walmart's Tire and Lube Express. And with Walmart's tires on demand, you can get 10,000 other tires and wheels on the top brands within 48 hours. See for yourself.
Hurry into your local Chevy dealer today and get a great deal on a brand new 2012 Chevy. Right now, during Chevy Truck Month, you can take advantage of great pricing on a Silverado, Suburban, Tahoe, or Traverse. Be sure to hurry in while supplies last.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Liz.
Todd?
I want you back.
You're just saying that because I got a makeover to make me look hot, even though I was hot to begin with.
No. I miss those nights instantly watching TV episodes and movies online with Netflix.
We watched as much as we wanted.
Whenever and wherever we wanted.
So, you love me? Even if I put these glasses back on?
Wow, those are thick.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
The chilly weather's just around the corner, folks, and a lot of people will be adjusting their thermostat down to save money. Quicken Loans has an adjustable rate mortgage that saves money, too. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans, and I'd like to tell you about our amazing 7-1 adjustable rate mortgage. The initial rate on this great program is just 2.625%, APR 2.94%. Do you want to reduce the cost of your mortgage? Do you plan on moving or refinancing in the next 5 to 7 years? Do you want the lowest rate available? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, our Quicken Loans 7-1 arm could save you stacks of cash. Again, the super low initial rate is 2.625%, APR 2.94%, and it's locked until the year 2019. After that, it may adjust once per year. Why pay a boatload more interest on a 30-year fix to borrow the same amount of money for the next 7 years? With a 7-1 ARM, you don't have to. Call 800-QUICKEN right now. That's 800-QUICKEN, or go to quickenloans.com.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Up in smoke, that's where my money goes. In my lungs, and sometimes up my nose.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What an interesting story about the orangutans.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah. So sad.
It is. Hearing her describe what they do.
I know.
Yeah. Well, there's ways to help, and it looks like things are looking up, hopefully.
Right.
But I've got some companion animal news for you today, starting with the rising incidence of dogs becoming intoxicated by marijuana.
Why?
Well, you know, there's one. That's one of the unintended side effects of legalized or decriminalized marijuana. It's all over. In certain states, it's everywhere, like Colorado and I guess California here. And people are, their dogs are getting into their baked goods.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
or into their stash, wherever
they're staying. They like to eat the baked stuff. Apparently,
yeah.
They are quite potent, made with the marijuana butter, and it can really cause the dogs to get sick, be lethargic, stagger, and vomit, and they become overly sensitive to sound and light. They lose their fine motor control. They have wide stance gait. So,
wow.
Watch. So be careful out there.
Yeah.
So there's so the vets, the veterinarians, and the animal hospitals are thinking about this more and more often in appropriate states.
So this is treatable, I'm assuming.
Well, it's treatable via support, but you can a dog can die from this.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So and then the recommendation of one author is, you may be hesitant to explain to the vet what happened, but you probably should.
Right. But the dogs shouldn't be eating the food that the marijuana is in anyway. So you can imagine what it's going to be, right? Cookies, brownies, chocolate, right? That's all bad for the dogs. So they shouldn't be getting into that anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Italy, tax evasion is a huge problem.
Yeah.
And it's getting worse. It's getting tougher and tougher now that they're facing their austerity regulations as they try to get out of their serious financial problem. And so the Italians are employing sniffer dogs, usually Labrador retrievers trained in Britain, to detect what? They are detecting cash, actual currency, and also gold and other precious metals. The dogs are trained to work at airports and at border crossings and can detect currency by sniffing it out and ratting out the crafty Italian tax evaders. And usually the money is not properly obtained. They cannot document where the money came from. So it's black market profits, and they lose it.
So if the dog sniffs out gold, then, I mean, you have to at least give the person the option of showing evidence or proof that it's documented correctly, right?
Yes. So they do allow them to document their legal possession, that they've paid taxes appropriately to acquire. And 99% of the time they fail to do so.
Wow.
So they're on to something here.
So cash and gold sniffing dogs.
Yes. And these labs, they are very good at it, better than German shepherds at sniffing and being watchdogs.
Wow.
Tax watchdogs.
Wow.
Okay. So you got to watch out. One, they did find in hiding in one vehicle the equivalent of about $2.7 million of gold. Okay, 50 kilograms. I calculated it out, and that's a lot of gold in your car. And isn't it interesting that it emits an odor.
Yeah.
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 So I didn't know that.
I wonder if the dogs get a piece of that action. Get a percentage of what they sniff out.
That's good. Miami, this weekend, a gentleman named Michael Rosenberg, who's the president and founder of a group called Miami Pets Trust, he's going to be spending two nights in a kennel, in a cage, at the Miami-Dade Animal Services Shelter as a way of bringing attention to that shelter and get people to come out and adopt their animals.
Huh.
So he's doing a vigil. That shelter, unfortunately, has got a pretty high euthanasia rate, and he's trying to empty out that shelter this weekend. And sounds like a reasonable, fun way to spend your weekend.
Yeah,
and hopefully it'll work. Yes.
Okay.
Have you heard of this a little toy called Water Balls, B-A-L-Z?
No.
Okay, so this is a little gel ball. It's a little toy, and you get it wet, and then it expands to like 400 times its natural size when you place it in water. And apparently this is a fun thing for kids to play with. Well, toddlers are ingesting them and causing intestinal obstructions.
Yeah,
and
I was just going to say, that doesn't sound safe at all.
Right. So well.
But the toy's meant for kids or meant for dogs?
It's meant for kids, but here's the point. Don't let your kids eat them, and don't let your dogs get at them either.
Right.
Because there are cases of pets getting at them.
Yeah.
Okay, and you can't really wait this out. It's going to cause an obstruction in your baby or your animal, and it's going to require open surgery to get
or
rid of it.
Or you'll die before. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
In New Jersey may be the first state to require seatbelts for pets.
Oh, seatbelts or just have them secure like in a doggy seatbelt seat?
Well, they're talking about doggy harnesses
okay.
here. Okay. So there are other states, they've banned motors from driving with pets in their laps. You know, we've seen some distracted drivers with little Pomeranians in their laps.
Right.
They think they know what they're doing.
Right.
But in Hawaii, Connecticut, Illinois, and Maine, you cannot do that. But apparently New Jersey is going to require that pets be strapped in. And this is especially aimed at the pickup people who like to throw the animal in the back of the...
Oh, that just bothers me so much.
Back there and just let them walk around.
Yeah. So you think that New Jersey is doing this for the safety of the pet or for the safety of driving?
Oh, it's hard to know. I bet you there's a number of factions who are supporting this.
Yeah.
And then there are other factions who think that New Jersey should spend more time dealing with their budget problems than wasting time on legislation like this. So,
yeah.
There you go, New Jersey.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
You bet. See you next week.
See you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Animals Today.